Reform is coming to the Rikers Island Jail Complex in New York City after a series of tragic stories brought the realities of the bail system in New York vividly to the public. Bail will no longer be required for low-level or nonviolent crimes, and $18 million will be spent on alternative supervision options like text message monitoring and drug rehab therapy. It's the troubled legacy of 22-year-old Kalief Browder, who was held in Rikers for 3 years after being unable to make his initial bail of $3,000 and eventually killed himself as he struggled unsuccessfully on the outside world. Associated Press reporter Jake Pearson broke the story about Rikers' new bail policy. Jake, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thanks for having me, John.
And does this apply only to Rikers, or does it apply just generally to cases in court in New York?
What's happening today is that the city is releasing what are called RFPs, requests for proposals, to providers who will establish sort of supervised release programs throughout New York City, all of New York City, all five boroughs, for certain types of offenses, nonviolent misdemeanors or felonies. It would give judges then an option between either releasing somebody back into their neighborhoods without any sort of supervision or giving them a bond they couldn't meet, which would then keep them incarcerated while their case winds its way through the courts.
So the $18 million will be spent on private sector or public sector nonprofit organizations who would manage these supervision options, the text messaging monitoring, the drug rehab therapy, that sort of thing, and judges will see that these options are available. Is that the idea?
That's right. You know, currently state law in New York only allows judges to take into consideration defendants' risk of flight and not necessarily their risk of offending or their public safety risk. So judges are sort of constrained in a certain way when it comes to options besides either releasing someone on their own recognizance or setting bail for them. The idea in this case is that if you give providers funding to establish a program where they check in regularly with defendants, text message remind them, connect them with behavioral or drug therapy programs, they'll show up in court when it's time for them to show up in court.
So in the Kalief Browder case, because it was a nonviolent crime, he might have benefited from a program like this by not being incarcerated in the first place. And during those 3 years when he was held in solitary, he might have benefited from a review of his case. And that could have helped him as well. Is that a rational approach to thinking about this?
Conceivably. When these providers get the contracts, they're going to come up with what's called, and the language and jargon on this is sometimes maddening, a risk assessment tool. It's an instrument that allows officials basically to measure whether somebody is at risk of reoffending or is at risk of a risk to the public. And if they were to take Kalief Browder's case and measure all the various variables, maybe they would have decided, you know what, this is somebody who would do well in the community, who we can stay in touch with, and we don't need to keep him locked up at Rikers while his case works its way through the Bronx courthouse.
And here was somebody who wanted to go to trial because he believed he was innocent, and it turns out, at least according to the facts, that he was. Would this make it easier for someone to hold out for that claim of innocence rather than be compelled to take a settlement, which is really what the pressure was for Kalief throughout that 3 years?
You know, that's sort of a separate issue. There's a speedy trial law in New York. And in Kalief's case, I think everybody was instructed or learned or it illuminated how that speedy trial law is used and some would say abused, so that even though a defendant has a right to have a quick trial, practically, effectively, the way it works is that cases can spin on years and years and years. The idea with these sets of reforms is that people who are in the process of getting a case adjudicated wouldn't necessarily have to make a decision on whether or not they're going to settle from behind bars at Rikers, but rather in their communities with their families while they maintain a job.
Will we see this going into effect immediately?
It will take some time. The requests go out today. I think officials are saying by the beginning of next year. The hope, city officials say, is to expand even more non-bail options in the future. The trick, though, for true bail reform, people say, is for Albany to act and change the statute to allow judges to consider something besides flight risk.
Jake Pearson is a reporter for the Associated Press. Thanks, Jake.
Thanks for having me.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo. Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.